I don't know what today's going to hold for us, but I do know that this came from the Lord at 5 o'clock this morning, and that's where we're going. So what happened is a few weeks ago, this is week 8 of this series, I didn't anticipate us spending 4 weeks. And last week, Tammy called 2 minutes into my sermon and it quit recording. So if you didn't get the last part of it, I'm going to try to get down and record it at some point. But honestly, I don't think we really missed anything. But well, it may have been Chris. Who knows? But, you know, I mean, it's no problem at all, because I think the people that were here last week heard the message. But it really kind of leads us into this week, because the week that was to come after was the week of community. We were supposed to talk about community. And I'm going to make sure that this thing... Okay. The week of community. And what I mean by community, we're going to be talking about community and what it means to be a community. Well, as the week's gone on, fear has become a major issue. And I felt the Lord leading me to talk about that today. Here's where it becomes funny. In the midst of all of the study, I pushed the other sermon aside, wasn't even thinking about the scripture that was in it. I pushed all my notes aside, like I said, a couple weeks ago is when I put it together, and I've been working on other things since then. Well, when I sat down over here during Sunday school, just real quickly, when I pulled my iPad out to look up a couple things for the lesson that you were doing, I went and looked at my outline from a couple weeks ago when I gave us the rundown, or from 8 weeks ago, and I gave us the rundown of how we were going to do this and where we were going. And what was the funny part is the scripture for today is still the same scripture. And I never looked at that outline to write this sermon. So turn to John 17. And it's kind of funny how God works. And this is why I believe that God is in complete and sovereign control of the situation. But I want to start with this question today. What have we become? Now, we've been talking about where the wild things aren't. We've been talking about all of these things. But my question to you today is this. What have we become? And I ask that in a serious manner, because it has sickened me over the last few days, and I've said this multiple times already this morning. I have become sick to my stomach seeing the posts of Christians and people of faith and the things that they are saying about other people, the ways that they are reacting to the recent events in the world. Fighting over little things like toilet paper. Have you seen some of the videos of these people in stores just ripping each other's hair out? And then getting mad when the store comes over and says, look, we're not giving you this buggy of toilet paper. You can't have it either. So, what are some things we can do? Well, number one, I can apologize because I did take things lightly at first because I wasn't scared. I had no fear of what was going to come. I made jokes and then, and those may have seemed offensive to some. And I have apologized for those. But think about it. I mean, people are fighting over these little things, except this time it's not milk and bread. This time it's toilet paper and hand sanitizer. If you're locked up in your home, not around anyone, why do you need hand sanitizer after the first time? If you're not eating, we'll leave that there. But the reality of it is people are hoarding these things and they're keeping them away from others. And it has nothing to do with doing it intentionally. It's fear. Fear has become part of our society today. And it truly has shown us that we are a broken world. We're a broken society. And the saddest part of it all to me is that we cannot see past our own selfishness. We cannot see past the nose on our face to see the needs and the hurts of others, to recognize where we as God's children might fit the story in a better way than we're looking. And that's what this is about today. Yeah, it's still about community. It's still about unity and joining together. But there's four questions I'm going to ask today, and I'm going to answer them. I'm going to answer them scripturally. I'm going to answer them biblically. And I'm going to answer them because I believe God placed them on my heart for each of us to hear. They're the ones that are here today. actually need to hear this. I don't know, but maybe somebody listens online that does. I don't know that either. I don't know who it's for, other than to say that God gave me the message and I have to share it. So bear with me as I go through this. But again, John 17 is where we're going to be. 1 Peter is also, we'll talk about some too. But hear me out while I talk about this, because basically, what am I saying? Because honestly, it's ridiculous when we look around at the adversity, and it's ridiculous how we sound when we get into these battles on Facebook and Twitter and wherever else it might be. It's absolutely abhorrent to see what this society has become, especially when you had hope for a little while. Maybe we had hope that things were going to get better, and now society has become so fearful. You know what all this has done for me as a minister, or for hopefully us as Christians? It's shown us the true need of this world for Christ as their Savior. And if you don't believe me, look around and look at the fear that has overtaken them. They have resorted to buying toilet paper for a cold. Now, there's a bunch of reasons that are out there, and I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not demeaning anyone. We allow toilet paper to become a product of necessity on such a scale that we're hoarding it, buying it all up, and making a scene over it. It's something that I can promise you I have never in my life thought that I would see the day that somebody would need 17 packs of 24-pack toilet paper for what might be 14 days. It's nothing that we ever would have thought about, but then all of a sudden, one day somebody said, oh, we're going to run out of toilet paper, and there it happened. To me, that is something that we need to reflect on today. Am I really getting upset about toilet paper? No. But people are dying, and some may be destined for hell. We're too worried about toilet paper and hand sanitizer to tell them about Christ. In fact, our actions and our language and our situation, we're getting angry with the people that are trying to serve us. I've seen numerous cases of people who are trying to restock shelves being just absolutely cowering in fear under those shelves because of the people that are charging them when they're just trying to open a box and get them what they need. The hand sanitizer situation is a joke. We're so worried that 24 packs of toilet paper won't be enough to survive 3 weeks if we're shut in and have no food, no anything else. It's sad, really. Now, there are some reasons that people are doing it, but here's the thing. And I would encourage us to stop and think for a moment. And here's the four questions. What is important here? What is important here? How should we act at a time such as this? These are the questions. That's the second one. How should we act at a time like this? How should we treat others? And what should we do? Yes, they all seem like maybe they go together, but hear me out on these four points. What is important here? How should we act at a time such as this? How should we treat others? And what should we do? Those are the four questions that I hope we can answer. And I don't think it's going to take long to answer. I think we all kind of know the answers already. But honestly, given circumstances and the way that this ministry thing works sometimes, current events make the best stories, don't they? They make the best opportunity for us to grow in Christ while knowing the situation. I find it hilarious that our Sunday school lesson, if you change the names and the places, fit perfectly with today's world. I mean, hands down, they could not have planned that any better. Did they know when they wrote those Sunday school lesson books? No. Because this is the end of a bigger quarter, or well, it may be the beginning of a quarter, but either way, there is no way they could have known when they were putting that book together that this is where we're going to be on such and such Sunday, but God did. God knew exactly what we would be talking about today and exactly what we would need to hear. And God led us to that. How do I have proof of that? Well, 8 weeks ago, I preached a sermon on where we were going to go about where the wild things aren't. And I'm still in the same scripture, even though the sermon has changed. Now think about it. Think about how that fits us today. God has shown us so many things. So the first question, let's answer. What is important here? Number one, we are not alone in this fight. We are not alone in the fight against whatever ails us, whatever comes our way. Whatever happens around us in the world today, we're not alone. And I am not talking about toilet paper. The fight to get toilet paper, that's on you. You're not alone in it, but everybody's trying to grab the same roll. Let's just put it that way. But when it comes to worldly matters and fighting against the things of this world, we are not alone. There is a fight that has been fought since the beginning of time. And that fight is with sin and with evil. Those things go hand in hand, and God has been fighting it. Christ came to fight it and won the victory. Why are we still fighting? Because there's something in battle for your soul. Your soul is the prize in the battle between good and evil. The battle that Satan is waging. The problem is that we've already been told Satan lost the war. Now, how can you know that Satan lost the war and yet somehow still believe you have a chance and a fighting chance to overcome the good of Christ? Well, either you're crazy or you just didn't get the memo. Either way, Christ will still overcome. How do I know? I talked about it just a little bit. Jesus said what? He said, in this world you will have trouble. The world hated me. The world will hate you because it hated me first. But fear not. I have overcome the world. Fear not. So why does fear cripple us? Why does fear break us to the absolute lowest point that it possibly can? Why does fear find us in a moment where we forget that we need to pray and we start trying to get our hands on every little thing the world tells us we need to get through the situation? Folks, I hate to break it to you. They've done a really good job of scaring us to death. But I, for one, am not scared. Why am I not scared? Because God knew this was coming. God saw this happening. God knew what was about to take place. So what about the rules that are set forth here? What about the rules that Christ set for his people? What about the rules, you know, what is the greatest commandment? What was it that he said? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Love your neighbor as yourself. That means you love yourself, right? That means that you would do anything to survive. You would do anything to take care of yourself. You would do anything to ensure your safety and well-being. So love your neighbor in the same way. You have a neighbor that can't get to the store or runs out of toilet paper. Give them one of your 28 packs of toilet paper and move on with life. You'll be fine. That is a joke. You can laugh. But the reality is if you know you have a neighbor that's going through a hard time, take care of them. Check on them. What kind of world would it be if Joe didn't check on Sharon? Or Sharon didn't check on Joe? Let me reverse that just so I don't...
Either way.
I mean, if Joe was like, I'm going to take care of Joe and only Joe, or in general, the church itself, what if we as the church were like, you know what? We're going to just close the doors. We're not in danger of breaking any law. If we were, we might have a discussion about something of that nature, because I'll get to that here in a little bit, but there's reasons. But the reality of it is that as the church, what are we called to be? The hands and the feet of Christ. We are the hands and the feet. We are to go. We are to serve. We are to do. We are to be the ones that they see in this world. And he's already told us, fear not, I have overcome the world. So what do we have to fear but fear itself, right? Isn't that what one of our presidents said at one time? What do we have to fear but fear itself? Well, the reality is that's the truth. Because have we noticed that the true virus in all of this, in some ways, is not the virus itself, but the way we react. Our mindset, the fear. Fear is a virus. Fear is a virus that comes from the pit of hell itself. And it is the biggest liar that we can ever face in this world. Fear is a liar so much so that Satan can convince us that toilet paper and hand sanitizer will save us during this sickness. No, probably not. The only thing that can truly save us in this world is Christ and his blood. If we don't buy into that, we don't... No matter what we do to protect ourselves in this world, we're going to get sick and we die and we go to hell because we do not buy in to what Christ is doing for us and what he did for us. The overcoming the world part, he meant that. He truly did. So what is important? Well, we need to treat others the way that we would like to be treated, not the way they treat us. You go into a store and somebody, I keep coming back to toilet paper. I don't want to. But it just, it's funny. You got 3 packs of toilet paper in your cart, and you're going to the register. Somebody comes and grabs one, give them another. You know, somebody asks you to walk a mile, walk 2. You know, and then people are like, well, what about you? What won't you be? And it's like, what's the purpose? I mean, first of all, why are you grabbing 3 off the shelf? But that's another story for another day. The reality of life is this. We're freaking out about something that we have control over, and that is our fear. It has nothing to do with the sickness, with what we need or what we don't have. It has more to do with what we are freaking out about, and that is our fear of something that is unknown. Well, death is unknown. The world's end is unknown. And we're not afraid of that, because we're not preparing ourselves for what Christ has told us will come and how it will come. And he's even told us what will happen if we die without him. And we're not sharing that with one another. We're more concerned about how we're going to get through the next 2 weeks than we are about how we're going to get through eternity. There is a problem, folks. Fear is misplaced and our thought process is misguided, and we are not doing what we should be doing. As Christians, treating others the way that we would like to be treated. They call it the golden rule, but the reality is simply this. If we treat others with respect, guess what we get in return? Respect. I might not get it from everyone, but if I'm treating others with respect, I'm going to get respect in return. The second question, how should we act at a time such as this? Not like children. That's a simple answer. But let me clarify that. I think we should act like children, but not in the sense of the world. We shouldn't act like children. We should act like children of God. We should act like the children of God that we are, the children who have been called to a higher purpose, to love one another the way that he loved us. The greatest commandment he gave us was to love one another as he has loved us. And that led to the statement of what? Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for a friend. If that roll of toilet paper means death for you or life, and somebody else needs it and you give it up and you die, then by all means, you gave up your life for theirs so that they could live. Now, I promise you, toilet paper is not going to kill you. But I'm saying that because it's just, for whatever reason, been the common theme in my head this morning. But how would Christ want us to act? John 17, the same exact scripture that I was going to go to all along. And here we go. This is unbelievable, really, because Jesus prays for the disciples. He then prays for all believers. And I want you to hear what's being said here, starting in verse 20. I pray not only for these. Now, these being the disciples. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. Do y'all hear what he's saying? So that the world may believe you sent me. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second, and I'm going to continue reading it in a moment, but hear that. I want to read that verse again. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. How does the world know who we are? Because we are unified and we are Christians and we are children of Christ and we exemplify Him. May they be one as you and I are one, Father. May they be unified as we are unified. We're on the same page. We get this. We're doing it together. And I am in them, so they are part of us and we all are one. And then He says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. When we act in unity as a church, as a congregation, as a Christian brotherhood, and I am talking Big C Church, when we act in unity, that is when the world sees who Christ is. It's not anything about how I personally can act. It's not anything about how you personally act. It is about how we act together. The worst people we come in contact with in this world sometimes are church members, right? Who say one thing and do another because they want you to hear their side of the story. Hear it again. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. Now, verse 23 or verse 22. I have given them the glory you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. So Christ not only is praying that we become one as He and the Father are one, He has now said this, I have given them the glory you gave me. The glory of God is in them. The glory of God is in His children. Why? So that they may be one as we are one. Christ gave the glory of God to the children of God so that they could be unified. Not divided. I'm getting chilled. This will preach, right? Isn't that what they say? I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I have given them your glory so that they can see you in, as the world can see you in them. I have given them this. We are one. They are one. We are all one. That is the object of Christ's prayer. Talk about the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. That everyone become unified in Him and in His love for everyone. The glory of God has been put in God's children so that the world can see that God loves them. When unity is not accomplished, or community, as we like to talk about. When community is not accomplished, what's the situation? We find divisiveness. We find a failure to communicate. We find a problem in the entirety of it all. What is happening here is Christ prayed for us to come together. And it's almost like we're spitting in His face. Saying, we don't need that. We don't need to come together. What's the point in us being unified when the world's just going to come against me? I need to treat them the way they treat me. No, you need to treat them better than they treat you in hopes that they can see the love of Christ in you. And when they see the love of Christ in you, guess what happens? They come together and they unify for a purpose. Now, whether we like it or not, things have become inconveniences for us. But at least we're unified, right? I'm not saying that this is some, but it's where we're at. It's what we're facing right now. We are facing a unification of sorts. We're being told to take cover and not spread this. Well, fine. Take cover and don't spread it and be unified. Do not be divisive and tear the world apart all because you think that we shouldn't have to listen to this or that. Because the reality is He literally prayed for unity. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to hear something. Peter is writing to the church here. What does he say? Well, he says this, dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles that Peter is referring to? Well, he's talking to the Israelites, so he's referring to the non-believer, if we apply this to today. The Gentiles. So that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. Hear that. Hear that right there. When they slander you as evildoers, they will see the good works of God in you and glorify him on the day he visits. Submit to every human authority. Hear this. Submit to every human authority because the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. By doing good. It says submit to authority. Has the governor issued a mandate on things? Yes. So what should we do? Submit. Why? He's been ordained by God to be in the position he's in. Whether we like him or not, whether we voted for him or not, he's there for a purpose. What does that mean to us? Well, it simply means that it is God's will for us to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Am I calling the governor a fool? No, that's not what I'm saying. But hear me out. I'm saying submit as free people. Submit as free people. Not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but because you are God's slaves. Because we are slaves to God, we should submit freely, without hesitation, without divisiveness, without any recourse. Why? Because not using our freedom as a cover up for evil. Honor everyone, love the brothers and sisters, fear God, honor the emperor. That is the last verse that Peter says in this section. He says, honor everyone, love the brothers and sisters, fear God, and honor the emperor. What are they going through at this time? Well, the Romans have overtaken them. The Romans are trying to tell them how they're going to live. And what does Peter tell the people to do? He says, submit. Give in. Do what they want you to do. Why? Because you doing good will go a lot farther for the kingdom of God. Divisiveness. Right now, they're not telling us that we can't worship God. They're simply saying, don't meet. And it might help with the spread or the lack of with this situation. We don't want to spread it further. We want to try to keep it as contained as we possibly can. Folks, as the minister at this church, I understand that request. What does that mean for us? Well, look around. I think we'll be good. Does it matter? No. If we get to 100 and we need to stay home, okay. We'll still share the gospel because we have means of being able to share that gospel. We'll still talk about the love of God because we have means of being able to talk about that love of God. But you know what we have even better than that? We have it in us. The glory of God has been given to us because Christ prayed for it. And he gave it to us. Why? So that we could show ourselves unified. Why? So that we could show the love of God to the world. So that in us they could see him because we're on the same page. We are unified together. So, third question, how should we treat others? Well, John 17, we should treat them like our equal, like our brother and our sister, like our another child of Christ. Hear that out for a minute. Treat them like you want to be treated. Treat them like you yourself would treat yourself. In fact, treat them better than you would treat yourself because you're going to take good care of you. So treat them the way that you would yourself. And when it all comes down to it, what are you doing by doing that? You are showing that you are unified for the cause. You are unified in getting through this and for the kingdom of God. Do we want to see it beaten? Do we want to see the world come to know him? Then treat them like you want to see it. Stop becoming divisive. Stop becoming a bickering group of people and turn to God and say, show me your love and let me show it to them. Christ said, I put your glory in them. that they might be one with us. That is something we really should hold on to today. Peter then said to do what? Submit to authority and love one another. Submit to them and love one another. Honor them. Honor everyone. Love the brothers and sisters. Fear God. Fear God. What does it mean to fear God? It means to come with awe and reverence before the one who was creator of our lives, the one who has put himself within us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and given us an opportunity to be one with him in fighting the world's battles. I can breathe, right? Can you? Are we understanding this? Are we capturing? Are we getting it? Man, this was a good 5 a.m. wake up call this morning. I'm not going to lie. So what should we do? Pretty simple. Obey God. That's something we should always do as Christians anyway, right? Love man and love God. Not in that order. But we should submit to the needs of the community. What will make the community better? What will show them the love of Christ? Submit to the needs that they have placed before you. They want us to stay home for 2 weeks. Okay, stay home. One of the reasons we will meet is to pray. And in fact, over the next couple of weeks, we will spend a lot of time in prayer. Anytime the doors are open, I think we'll probably pray more than we actually teach, especially for the evening services. If you want to come in and pray, pray. We will open the doors for prayer. If you don't feel well, don't feel obligated to be here. Because you can pray where you are. I just do believe that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst. And we can defeat this by showing the world that God is the light. I saw a preacher put up on Facebook, and I don't remember who. I wish I did because I'd love to give credit to this. But it said that God is the light and we are the lampstand, and I love it. I think it's absolutely amazing. I've often looked at it the way that Louis Giglio did one time. He talked about us being little moons that reflect the light of God. And that we are to reflect that love and that light of God out because the world can't see it. And too many of us are worried about trying to get in front of it and cause the eclipse rather than be the reflection. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. Yeah. This is not a time to become hateful with others and to openly defy authority. That is how we do what we do, what we need to do. Defying authority is not what we need to do right now. Now, there may come a day where we have to defy authority who tells us that because we're Christians, we can't meet. And because we're Christians, we can't come together and worship his name. That in itself might be a situation. But then again, think about what Peter's talking to here. He's talking to a group of people that are in that situation saying, submit to authority. Do what they ask you to do. Show them the love of Christ and the light of Christ in you. Be the lampstand, so to speak. Then it goes on. And here's the thing that I want us to understand today, that none of this, I've said this before, none of this has taken God by surprise. They haven't said don't have faith. They just simply asked us to not meet if there would be 100. I get it. I understand it. And I think we all do. They're asking us not to meet in large groups because they want to slow the spread of a virus. We are God's workmanship. Gathering in groups to pray isn't a bad thing, and there are those among us who, if they contract the virus, might face a death sentence for it. Based on the high-risk categories, almost every one of us in this building today fit the mold. Does that mean that we're going to be in trouble if we can't come to church? No. It might mean we're in trouble if we catch it. I'm kind of in the mindset, catch me if you can. But that's because I don't feel that we need to cower in fear today over the situation. But I shared on Facebook earlier in the week, and I asked the question. I said, is the coronavirus a real threat? Is it something that people are worried? I mean, is it something that we should be worried about? Is it an issue? I think is how I asked the question. And I responded to that question with this statement. I said, if somebody around you says yes, then the answer is yes. Now, we might all in this room think it's not that big of an issue. But if one person in this room says, yes, it's an issue, then it is an issue for all of us. Why? Because it is to that person. That is what community is all about. If Tammy has a problem with something, we all have a problem with it because we are one. As Christ and the Father are one, and He put His glory in us to be one with them. So that means it is our problem. If Tammy has a problem, we have a problem. And we need to fix it. Well, how do we fix it? Especially something that has an unknown cure, that is unknown about what is really taking place with it. We love one another. And by loving one another, we do what is necessary for one another to survive this issue. If I'm sick, I shouldn't be around people that could die from getting this. Okay? That's the love of Christ. Not sharing it. Sounds crazy, right? Well, Christ went to the cross with my sin and your sin on His shoulders. Why? So that we didn't die from carrying it. You understand where we're going with that? He took that sickness to the cross, isolated Himself from the rest of the world, and took it and died on the cross. Why? So that sin stopped in its tracks. That is what the isolation does. He isolated Himself from the world. Or as, you know, quarantine's apparently not the word we can use anymore. Socially distanced Himself from the world and went to the cross, right? I think that's the word they're using now. He socially distanced Himself and took it to the cross. I mean, if I'm going to use today's terms, I'm going to use today's terms. We're going to do it in this way. And I'm not bowing to anything by doing it. Hear this out, though. For the sick and the weakest among you, those are the ones that we need to care for. The sick and the weakest among you. Remember, that's the love of Christ. That's the honest truth about the teachings that we see within the church in the New Testament. It's always to care for the sick and the weakest among you. There is never anything more than caring for the sick and the weakest among you and showing the love of Christ to the world around you. That is, in fact, the reason the church exists. God's will be accomplished in all of this, but it's about caring for the community. Not for defying a government and pulling others or putting others at risk to stir a pot that will only paint God's people in a light that they cannot bear witness from. And that's where we are right now in some cases. There are many today who are defiantly doing things and saying things and acting in ways so that they can try to prove to others that they will not listen to the authority. Well, I don't read that Bible. The Bible I read you. It says submit to authority. Be reasonable. Show them the light in God's love that brings them to see Him in a different way. How do we combat things? We love. We love, and that's the only way that they're going to see who Christ is. We are one in Him. What have we become? What have we become? I started with the question. I'm going to answer it here. Have we become monsters that want to be seen, striving to prove how right we are when we're leaving and tearing down the ones that we don't agree with? By tearing them down to the bottom and saying these people don't matter because they don't agree with what I agree with, that is not what my Jesus would do. That is not what your Jesus would do, our Jesus. It's not what our brother Christ, the one who prayed for us to be unified, would do. In fact, we already know what He would do. He would take it upon Himself and face it alone if He had to. Meaning, He would take the sickness and be the only one that faced that sickness if it were possible. Because it might be God's way. He wanted to take it upon Himself so that we didn't have to suffer the consequences. How many of us in this room today, if given the opportunity to take the coronavirus and possibly die from it, but nobody else in the world would ever get it, would you do it? I mean, let's be real. You don't have to answer out loud because some people wouldn't. But Christ did. He took it to the cross. Your sin, my sin, our sin, all of it. And He died on the cross so that we could have life, so that we didn't have to die from it. The wages of sin is death, but God said, you know what? I've got a way, and it's going to hurt. And one person's going to have to do it. And Jesus said, okay. He said, if there's another way, let it be. But if that's not what can happen, then I'll go to the cross and I'll do what is necessary so that the rest of these can still be one with us. Talk about unity and leadership. Are we willing to be that leader today? Because we need to put on the mind of Christ. Why are we allowing selfishness and pride to destroy us as human beings? Why are we allowing selfishness and pride to destroy our church? To destroy the church? To destroy us as individuals? All because we want a bag of toilet paper. Or a hand sanitizer. Or milk and bread when it comes to a snowstorm. I mean, there's so many things. Folks, we're preparing for a hurricane. We're preparing for a storm. We're preparing for whatever it is. But the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2. Submit to authority. Submit to what the authority asks you to do. Why? Because you're doing it out of the love of God. The love of Christ. You're showing them the light in a dark world. You're loving them by showing them submission. Does it mean that you're giving in to something that's morally wrong? No, they're trying to stop a disease from spreading. Submit to the authority. Don't defy it just because you think you know better. Care for the neighbors that you have around you. And remember that last verse of that one. I mean, that section is just so beautiful to me. That last verse of chapter 2, verse 10, or verse 17. Honor everyone. Love the brothers and the sisters. Fear God and honor the emperor. Submit to authority. Doesn't mean we have to stop fearing God and loving God, trusting God. It just simply means that it says submit to every human authority because of the Lord. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord. Whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and praise those who do what is good. Listen, let's replace that for where we are in America. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to the president as the supreme authority or to the governor as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you're silent, that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Hear that. It is God's will that you silence the ignorant by doing good. Silence the ignorant by doing good. Honor everyone. Love brothers and sisters. Fear God and honor the emperor. Submit to the authority that is placed before you. Do what the Lord has asked you to do, and do not let fear become the liar that it is in the world in your life. Exemplify what community means. And when you do that, you find yourself in a place that offers peace, that passes understanding, that takes anxiety out of the trouble. And the reality of what life is at that point is this. We as Christians learn to stand as one with the Father and the Son. And the world sees his love through what we do, through how we act and how we carry ourselves. And we become the community that he has called us to become. Are we going to get it right all the time? Maybe not. But right now we have a golden opportunity to show the world what the love of Christ is, because some may die from this sickness. And there's a sickness that kills more and more every day, and that is sin. And if we're not watching what's happening around us, we're going to let them die in sin, and they can't recover. I'm going to close in prayer, and we'll go our separate ways. Let's just close in prayer at this time. Father God, we just come before you right now, and we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this message today. I thank you for what you've showed me through your word, for the opportunity that you've allowed me to be a part of just this message. And God, I pray that it would touch everyone that needs to be touched today. That God, it would go out and that they would hear your word through your word, not mine. Lord, that the scripture would speak for itself in this matter. God, we would be examples for you, that we would go out and we would submit to the authorities to show your love to the world around us. And God, I pray that through this time that we would submit in such a way that, Lord, that your light and your love would be shown to the world, that we would be the lampstands that exude your light, that a dark world can see and that want to know how to light their path as well. Lord, go with us, lead us. Continue to show us your glory. And as this sickness overtakes many in the world, I pray that today we would recognize its path, that we would be able to stand, that we would be able to be strong in the face of this time, and that we would be able to be examples for you. Lord, I pray that we would be one as you and the Son are one. As he prayed for us to come together, I pray we would, that the church would rise and unite, and that we would fast and pray, and that we would come before you recognizing what you've called us to do, and that is to submit through love so that the world might see you in us. Lord, go with us, lead us, direct us, and continue to show us the path today. And we pray this in your holy, precious, and wonderful name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.